be presenting my doctoral research from the occupational therapy program from Washington University in St. Louis. And before I start, I just want to give special thanks to Dr. Susan Stark and Dr. Gray and their research labs at WashU for their guidance, and Dr. Rimmer and the NICPAD team in Chicago for permission to use their assessments. The present study is a sub-study of a larger two-year grant funded by the Missouri Foundation for Health, or MFH, that focuses on fitness training for people with mobility impairments. The study was a collaboration between disability researchers at Washington University and Paraquad, an independent living center. And it was located in a research facility called the Enabling Mobility Center, or the EMC. The goals of the MFH project were to decrease the number and severity of secondary medical conditions and increase health knowledge and behaviors through an education seminar, a health management handbook, and a 12-week strength and cardiovascular exercise program. Today, health is viewed as more than a pathology, but a state that encompasses physical, mental, and social well-being. However, healthcare of individuals with disabilities often focuses on pathology and using curative care. We are now realizing that people with disabilities can avoid developing secondary medical conditions with health promotion and disease prevention efforts. Regular physical activity has become a widely accepted approach to achieving and maintaining health. Physical activity can improve health outcomes such as increasing strength and endurance and improving functional ability. However, people with disabilities are exercising far less than people without disabilities. The physical features of the outdoor environment can limit people with disabilities, especially people with mobility impairments, from exercising, such as a lack of curb cuts and steep terrain slopes. I chose to focus on indoor fitness centers as they may be the next best place for people with disabilities living in an urban community to exercise. Although fitness facilities are required to meet the accessibility guidelines under the Americans with Disabilities Act, many facilities fail to comply. Barriers include tight spaces, inaccessible bathrooms, lack of staff training in the needs of people with disabilities, and a lack of information of what services are available. As a result, people with disabilities may avoid going to indoor fitness facilities and are not provided opportunity to exercise. The theoretical models that guide this research describe the person-environment transaction as it relates to participation. The International Classification of Functioning, Disability, and Health focuses on participation as the goal of any intervention. Lawton and Nyamo's ecological model predicts that reducing the demand or press in the environment results in optimal participation. These models both emphasize the role of the environment in supporting a person's participation in meaningful activities. This project was a two-year, quasi-experimental, cross-sectional descriptive study and sought to answer the question, how does the indoor fitness environment support physical activity participation for people with mobility impairments? I hypothesized that fitness facilities would have accessible general areas that facilitate exercise participation, such as wide doorways, but would have less accessible fitness center-specific features that create barriers to participation, such as a lack of accessible exercise equipment. Participants must have met all eligibility criteria for the MFH project and additionally had to complete an initial survey, and express interest in exercising in an indoor fitness facility. Participants were recruited during their 12-week exercise program. A convenient sample of 23 people out of 101 exercise participants took part in the study. Participants were asked to list up to 3 fitness facilities that they were interested in getting more information about. And from those 23 participants, 50 fitness facilities were assessed. This chart shows the demographics of this study sample and the overall MFH sample. The majority of participants were Caucasian females with a mean age of 43 years, income less than $15,000 a year, and completed at least 1 year of college. No differences were found between this study sample and the overall sample. Participants in this study sample generally rated their health as good to excellent, and had a range of diagnoses for their mobility impairment, mostly multiple sclerosis, and used a range of mobility devices, mostly a manual wheelchair. Again, no significant differences were found between the two groups. The majority of participants in the sample were frequent to moderately intense exercisers, but 73% reported wanting to exercise more. The most commonly cited reasons for not exercising as much as desired included inability to afford exercise special equipment, lack of assistance, lack of accessible equipment in the fitness facilities, and inability to afford a membership. Only 18% of the participants stated that an inaccessible facility was the reason why they didn't exercise. And again, no significant differences were found between this study sample and the overall sample. Fitness facilities were included in the study if they were privately owned, nonprofit sites such as YMCAs, park district or community recreation centers, rehabilitation centers, swimming pools, and yoga centers in the St. Louis City or Greater St. Louis area. Services provided by the facilities must have included but were not limited to strength and cardiovascular training. I used three measures in this study. The first one is called the Environmental Influences on Exercise Questionnaire, or the EIEQ. The EIEQ was developed and piloted during the study due to the in response to the lack of self-report tools that record how the indoor fitness environment impacts an individual's exercise participation. Based on a review of the literature, participant input, and existing environmental assessments, 32 environmental features were developed to determine which environmental qualities in an indoor fitness facility influence people with mobility impairments to exercise. Participants rank the top five most important environmental features among the 32 presented. The second measure is called the Accessibility Instruments Measuring Fitness and Recreation Environments, or the AIM-FREE. This is a group of measures that objectively evaluates the accessibility of specific areas in a fitness facility. The AIM-FREE has 15 separately scored general areas such as parking, entrance area, and bathrooms, and of fitness center specific domains such as exercise equipment, information, and professional training. The accessibility of each domain is scored from 0 to 100, 100 being the highest level of accessibility. The third assessment I use is called the Community Health Environmental Checklist, or the CHECK, which objectively measures the ecological receptivity of the physical environment. Ecological receptivity is how well the physical features of the environment facilitate participation so a person with a mobility impairment can enter a building, move within it, and get what he or she needs to get done. The CHECK evaluates 22 environmental features. Overall receptivity is scored on a 0 to 100 scale, 100 indicating the highest level of receptivity. Before the data collection, the EIEQ was completed with six peer participants with mobility impairments to test the content validity and general readability of the survey. The AIM-FREE professional version and the CHECK were administered on six facilities twice by the same rater and on two facilities with a peer rater. The numbers indicate excellent agreement within the researchers' ratings and between raters. During the participants' exercise program, participants completed the EIEQ and identified up to three fitness facilities. Each facility was assessed with the CHECK and AIM-FREE professional version, which took about 1.5 to 2 hours total. The researcher then informed the participant on how well the environmental features in the facility met his or her needs as prioritized by the EIEQ. Based upon the participants' rankings of the most important environmental features, the researcher provided the most relevant information about the facility's environment. Statistical analyses included a frequency analysis of the environmental features most important to the sample's physical activity participation and a simple descriptive analysis that characterized the central tendency and variability of the AIM-FREE and CHECK scores. As measured by the EIEQ, fitness center-specific features were generally perceived as more important than general accessibility features, such as affordable membership cost, specialized exercise equipment, friendly staff behavior, and staff training. The ecological receptivity of the fitness facilities, as measured by the CHECK, was generally good, at an average of 76. Rehabilitation centers were the most receptive, followed by community recreation centers, nonprofits, privately owned, and yoga centers. Even though the ecological receptivity of all these facilities were generally good, taking a closer look at the accessibility of the specific domains or areas of these facilities helps us determine whether the facilities do in fact support people with mobility impairments to participate in exercise. This table shows the average level of accessibility of each fitness center domain. Scores range from 33.5 of the hot tubs and saunas at the bottom to 78.42 in the elevators at the top. Notice that the general domains highlighted in red, such as elevators, parking, and access routes, were the most accessible, with the exception of bathrooms. While fitness center-specific domains highlighted in blue, such as equipment, locker rooms, and professional support and training, were less accessible. All 32 environmental features of the EIEQ were ranked based upon how frequently the environmental feature was cited as most important. The features were categorized into the aim-free domains. This table again shows each domain's level of accessibility, but also includes the ranking of how important that domain is for the participants. In blue are the areas most important for participants. Although equipment, policies, and professional support and training were ranked the most important, they were among the least accessible. General features were not as important, but were more accessible. This study found that fitness center-specific features are crucial for people with mobility impairments to participate in exercise. However, fitness center-specific areas were among the least accessible. These findings confirm my hypothesis and also highlight the disparity between the current indoor fitness environment and what people with mobility impairments think they need. Excessive demands or press from the indoor fitness environment will deter or prevent people with mobility impairments from fully exercising at those sites. As participation in physical activity gains more recognition as an indicator of health, we need to consider how environmental barriers can be removed and how supports can be put into place to encourage people with mobility impairments to exercise more. From all my assessment, I came up with just a few recommendations that fitness facilities could do to improve the overall receptivity and accessibility of their facilities. First, a facility should reevaluate the fitness center's mission and determine what kind of clientele is it trying to serve. Also, the facility should go beyond the minimum requirements of the Americans with Disabilities Act. A facility should also make space in the equipment area and locker rooms for people with mobility devices to maneuver. They need to purchase universally designed exercise equipment that can be used by clients with varying degrees of abilities, and they need to provide staff support and training in health conditions and exercises for people with mobility impairments. And lastly, I believe that fitness facilities need to get the word out and let people with disabilities know what services they provide and what equipment they have. There is a strong possibility for selection bias for participants and fitness facilities. Participants were highly educated and high-level exercisers. They may have been more motivated to exercise and perceived fewer barriers. Therefore, the responses on the EIEQ may not have been representative of the greater population of individuals with mobility impairments who are not meeting the minimum guidelines for regular physical activity. The EMC was also highly accessible and scored the highest on equipment and one of the highest on professional support and training, and participants may have been less interested in other facilities. Future directions for research include an intervention study with a fitness facility to improve accessibility and receptivity to determine whether changes influence exercise participation. Currently, a longitudinal study of the participants' current exercise participation after follow-up with the fitness facility assessment is being conducted by another occupational therapy student at Washington University. This study serves as an important preliminary step to understand the disparity between what the indoor fitness environment currently offers and what people with disabilities need to exercise and improve their health. Thank you.